works of old, the legends and the myths, Achilles and his gold, Hercules and his gift, Spider-Man's control, and Batman with his fist. And clearly I don't see myself upon that list. She said, where'd you wanna go? How much you wanna risk? I'm not looking for somebody with some superhuman gifts, some superhero, some fairy tale bliss, just something I can turn to, somebody I can kiss. I want something just like this. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do
This new series. And right now, we're going to sing a little bit together because we believe that that's really, really good for our hearts when we sing together in community and tell God about his character and how good he is, or we sing about what we want to believe about God. And I want to invite you guys to do that with us, whether this is your first time here or you've been here 100 times, no matter where you come from, what you believe about God, you are welcome. I am so glad that you're here. You're in the right place. Follow everybody. Stand up and sing with us.
I once was dead.
I follow where you lead. I lay at your feet, and you can have all of me.
You are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh. Last week, this song became our community's anthem, and it really moved our community as Brian kind of talked about his story around this song, and we want to share it with you guys again.
By the way, you might wonder, like, wait, why are you singing a song like you are good? I mean, God's not good. Your spouse's had a stroke. She might not ever let show. Oh, how are you singing? The reason I'm singing that, it's because in the holistic journey of my life, God has shown himself to be good over and over. There's been things that I haven't liked that God has done or allowed happen to me, certainly. But holistically for me, God has shown himself to be good over and over again. And when I sing that, I'm not thinking about you're good right now. I'm going to like what happens right now. I'm thinking about eternity. I'm not playing for 75 years. I'm playing for eternity. I'm not playing for a paycheck to paycheck. I'm playing for life that goes beyond the grave, because that's what my hope is in, the one who conquered the grave. And so I'm able to sing and connect with God because independent of whatever happens here, me and God are going to be good. Independent of anything that happens here, it will not change my holistic view of God and my belief that he is good. And he's shown that to me over and over again.
You are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, yeah, you're good, you're good. Let the king of my heart, let the king. King of my heart, be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good.
You're never gonna let me down. No, you're never gonna.
holding on to me, that you are holding on even tighter, that I can let go and fall into your hands, and you're a safe place. I love you, and I thank you. Amen. Good singing, you guys. Yeah. Turn to somebody around you that you don't know. Give them a handshake. Tell them good morning. You can have a seat.
When Jesus crashed into the world 2,000 years ago, he came to start a movement. He came to bring the kingdom of God to earth. And the way this movement spreads is by people following Jesus, by people living and loving like Jesus. This movement is our mission. It's why we're hell-bent on flipping our city, why we'll go anywhere to spread Jesus' love, forgiveness, and freedom. It's why we continue to launch more sites and more services wherever God calls us, to give our friends a safe place to hear about God's love for them. The weekend services at Crossroads are where we get taught and trained about who Jesus is and who we are, and where we get mobilized into the action of following Jesus. But there's a limit to how far we can go with just more sites and more services. There aren't enough buildings or services to contain this movement we're called to. So what if we tore down those limitations and opened our homes for the mission? Crossroads is one church with multiple sites, but with our homes, we're one church with thousands of sites. What could happen in our city and our world if we treated our homes as kingdom resources where people could find belonging and connection? See, where there are limits to how far we can go with just more sites, the power of our homes to reach our city is unlimited. The power of our homes to go deeper with our friends, neighbors, and families is unlimited. What could happen if we used our homes to love our neighbors? If we used our homes to serve those in need? If our homes became places to grow together and heal together, pray together, laugh together, and celebrate together? And what could happen in our lives and our families for generations to come if our homes became outposts of the church? This movement needs you and your home. Whether you're single, married, or living with roommates, whether you're renting or a homeowner, if we all make our homes an extension of the church and the kingdom, our cities will flip. The movement will spread. We will see God change the world in ways we've never imagined.
Hey guys, welcome to Crossroads. My name's Matt. I'm the campus pastor of Crossroads Anywhere. Just like you saw in that video, Crossroads is one church made up of multiple locations. Locations, in fact, all over the country, many of which are homes, like this one. You know, I get to be in your guys' living rooms so many weekends on your TVs. I thought it only fair you should be able to come into my living room this weekend. So welcome to my home. You know, the way that we are a part of the movement and create so many of those locations all over the country is by hosting. It's by hosting weekend gatherings in our homes, in living rooms, in apartment buildings, in community centers, wherever we are, and have the ability to create space for other people to come in and be a part of Crossroads. That's what this team does. You know, I don't know if you've ever tried hosting before. We'd love to sort of debunk the myth. It's pretty much like having a movie night in the morning or whenever you want to do church, right? The big idea is, you know, we would close the blinds here. We would turn the volume up really loud during worship. We'd make sure everybody has a place to sit, and we'd have coffee going in the morning. Beyond that, we just want to make sure everyone feels welcome and feels like they can hang out afterwards and chat and talk life and also help me clean up, right? If you're at my house, those are the rules. But it is really easier than maybe it sounds. But we have all been in the boat where we are kind of intimidated by taking that step because it can be a little awkward, a little nerve-wracking to invite someone into your home to try this. But let me tell you, we've helped hundreds of people do this all over the country, and it's really exciting. When you take that brave step to make space for people to be a part of Crossroads, usually people are really excited that you did, and you end up experiencing some new part of God and a new part of His story that you never had before. It's really awesome. And we'd love to help you do that. You know, right around the corner here in a couple of weeks is probably your best opportunity to give it a shot, and it's Easter. You know, Easter, every year for people, no matter if they're a part of a church, going to church, haven't been to church in years, you know, Easter is this really natural opportunity we have to invite people to come and have a meaningful experience. Everybody's looking for something to do on Easter weekend, and you can be that something to do. You can be the source of that for people, and I think this year, our Easter experience is going to be incredible. For months, we've been pouring creative resources into a brand new Easter experience. We've been on different locations with Brian shooting the film. We have an incredible worship experience that's going to be a part of this, and some really special sort of secret things that I can't tell you about that are going to be awesome, surprise and delight things that people have never experienced in church before. And we want that experience to be happening in as many homes as possible in just a few weeks. And so I wonder if you might, maybe for the first time, try hosting a Crossroads Anywhere Easter experience in your home. You can go to crossroads.net/Easter and see that we have a ton of service times. Easter weekend, Thursday through Sunday, you can pick a time, you can invite your friends, and basically be the hero. This is going to be the thing that people are talking about out in their front yards the week after Easter weekend. This is the thing that people are going to be talking about at work. They will be excited that they got an opportunity to experience this with you and perhaps be the first connection they have to Crossroads and some life change that might come their way. It's going to be really exciting. And so we want to help you do that. If you want to host, send me an email at anywhere@crossroads.net. We want to send you the help, the best practices, the things we've learned from doing this in homes all over the country. And every week, we can send you an email that preps you for the weekend. So we'll tell you what's going to happen, the special things that are happening. You know, for example, we just took communion the other weekend. So we would tell you ahead of time to have communion ready. For Easter in particular, you want to get this email because it's going to contain some of the sort of secret prep things that are going to make this experience unlike anything that people have done before. So shoot me an email at anywhere@crossroads.net. We'll set you up. It's going to be awesome. You know, this Easter experience, you and me being connected right now, all this stuff is made possible because people give generously to make it happen. There's a whole team of people who have decided that because of how God has changed their life and been so generous to them, they are generous in making sure as many people as possible can have an opportunity to hear about Jesus in a language they understand. And so the money that this team gives is invested in things like the technology that connects us in these Easter experiences. And if you've been a part of the last couple of weeks, this incredible journey, the app, the Crossroads Anywhere app that we've created, all of these things are made possible because people give generously. And if you want to be a part of that team, it's really easy. You can go to crossroads.net/give. You can sign up to do a reoccurring gift. You put your name in, your financial information, you pick an amount and a frequency, and it comes out like clockwork. You could do a one-time gift. If you're brand new and you're just getting your head around all of this thing that is Crossroads, we're just glad you're here and there's zero pressure to participate in the giving. We're glad that you might have a chance to experience God in an incredibly new way. Now we're going to continue in our service now, so we're going to get a sneak peek about the start of this Beyond series. Glad you're here.
There's a lot of people who really get excited about that trailer, and I think it's because, like me, it releases your inner 80s child. I think that's why we love that so much. So, hey, I'm Chuck. If you've been watching or connecting via Crossroads Anywhere, great to be with you. If you're here in Oakley, great to be with you as well. The inner 80s. I see a lot of things that just remind me of my youth in that. So I see E.T. up in there. Anybody else? That kind of puts me in the mind of E.T. Need to go watch that with my kids. My Atari 2600 just kind of calling to me when I watch that thing. But we're starting a new series today called Beyond, and it's about this question: is there more for us to experience? Is there more of a transcendent experience available to us? Is there more power in the spiritual realm available to us? If there is, I think all of us would say, man, I want that. If there is some transcendent, powerful thing happening, I want that. And the idea in this series is, yes, there is. And in fact, there's not something out there, but there is someone out there that you can experience and encounter. It's the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be talking about, for the next 3 weeks, the Holy Spirit. Now, this idea of wanting to encounter the spiritual in that way, in that personal, powerful way, is not just unique to the walls of a church. You find this in all walks of life. You find it more and more in culture. So just to kind of gauge this, how many of you have seen or want to see The Shack, the movie The Shack? Yep, so a couple people have seen that. You and millions of others, because it's been in the top five of the box office every week since it came out. In fact, one of the people who follow me on Twitter, I have a handful of followers on Twitter, and one of them who follows me was really excited about this movie. This is what she had to say. She said, "Just saw the movie The Shack with the fam. Was so good to see after reading the book." What are you guys laughing at? No, Kim Kardashian does not follow me on Twitter. And for the record, I don't follow her either. But it just reminds us that there's a hunger in our culture to experience the supernatural. I think we all have that. And if you've seen The Shack, this isn't a real spoiler alert if you haven't, the movie portrays a very personal portrayal of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit personally interacting with this man. How does that strike you? To think about experiencing God in that personal way, does that like stir up a hunger for you, or does it just weird you out? I think we all can have different perspectives on that. Well, today, you're going to hear a lot of personal stories of people who've encountered God personally in that way. And I want to share some of my stories and some of my friends' stories, and I don't want you to get so caught up in the experiences. You're going to hear about some profound experiences, but I don't want you to get so caught up on that. What I hope happens today is it stirs up a hunger and a desire to encounter the person behind those experiences, the Holy Spirit. Because the big idea today is that the Holy Spirit is a someone, not a something. Someone that we can connect to. Someone that we can choose to accept or reject. And I'm hoping today your desire is to connect more with the Holy Spirit. Let me pray before we go any further. God, thank you for this gift. That's what you call the Holy Spirit, your gift. And as we begin to unpack something that is certainly in the realm of mysterious and oftentimes not fully explainable by our human words, God, I just recognize my limitation today as I talk about this. And so I pray that you take my words, you take the words of the stories that we're going to hear today, and you cause it to stir a hunger in us to encounter you through your Holy Spirit. Because I believe that invitation is available to everyone listening right now. And I pray that in your Son's name. Amen. So my first experience of the Holy Spirit, I had many experiences of the Holy Spirit in the context in which I grew up church-wise. So I grew up in a very small African-American, you might call it Pentecostal persuaded church. So there are normal things that happen every weekend at my church that you probably would think were really weird if they happened every weekend here at Crossroads. So for instance, in my church, it was normal for people in the middle of the service to begin to speak in a language other than English. That was a normal thing. It was also normal in churches, in the churches that I was around, for people to fall out and actually be unconscious for a period of time as they were encountering the presence of God. In fact, it was so common that we don't have this role. This is not one of the roles we have for Easter, but in my church, we had ushers like we have here, but we also had catchers at my church. We had catchers. So your role as a catcher was kind of to roam and identify who was about to fall so you could run and catch them and ease them to the ground. So I was a pretty good catcher. I kind of did that a little bit. So I had some skill in that area. So, I mean, this was normal stuff for me. And, you know, it may not be normal in every context, but it was normal in my context. And even though it was normal, man, I still had moments when it was just all a bit weird to me. One of the experiences I remember that was a bit weird to me was something that happened regularly. It was kind of a rites of passage in my church. They called it tarrying at the altar. Now, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but like five or six of you are like, I know exactly what you're talking about. So I'm gonna let you all in on a little cultural experience here. So you would come to church, and this was for people who had said yes to following Jesus. So you had received Jesus, and they would say, come, and we're gonna tarry, which meant wait, and pray, so that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, or maybe it was called the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your context. And so you'd do that, and you'd pray. And it was called tarrying for a reason, waiting for a reason, because you would be there until it happened. That's the way this deal went down. So you stay until you get it, and then you leave, which meant, you know, 30 minutes in, if you were one of the lucky ones, you got it, and you left, right? But if not, then you were just, like, trying to figure out what was going on. And so basically the evidence that you had gotten the gift of the Holy Spirit was you too started speaking in tongues, we called it, speaking a language other than English, which is a very biblical thing. We'll talk about that a little bit later today. But in this context, you kind of got to pray until you get it, and you can't leave until you get it. So I remember being there, and I was not one of the lucky ones. So, you know, as this thing is going on, I'm kind of like one eye open, one eye closed, like, I would really like to be next. You know, like one of those things. So, and I remember like leaving that experience, and I think I had an experience. I'm certain my cousin didn't, because later on I asked him, and he was like, man, when I figured out you get to leave after you just say some things, I just said some things so I could leave. So I'm just saying, it was a little bit of both, right? And now here's the thing. When we have an experience like that, the danger is we use that experience to write off a lot of real things that happen in the Bible. And I'm just telling you that there are far too many stories in the Bible of people experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, to just write it off altogether. And I'm telling you, as hopefully someone that you see as a normal guy, that I have experienced over and over again powerful things that happen because of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not the only one. So one of the folks I wanted you to hear from this weekend is a guy named Jason who goes to our Florence campus, because I was there when he had a pretty powerful experience with the Holy Spirit. Let's watch his story.
I experienced the Holy Spirit while in New Orleans on a mission trip with Crossroads a couple years back. I had injured my hip before the trip, and the doctors told me not to go. I went ahead and went anyway, decided to just take it a little bit easy instead of having surgery right away. I re-injured it really bad while we were down there. I could barely walk. It was excruciating, to the point where I was going to come back home. The next morning, after worship, I decided to ask some of the guys for prayer. During prayer, I could feel the Holy Spirit just completely fill my entire body from head to toe. It was like almost like I was walking on air. The pain completely went away. I was shaking uncontrollably, unlike anything I'd ever felt before. When they were done, I had zero pain. I was able to go back on the work site and work the whole rest of the week with zero pain at all. And on my way back home, the pain started to come back. After surgery, the doctor said that I really injured it a lot worse when I was there, and there was no medical explanation as to how I was able to even function when I was down there to put any weight on my leg whatsoever. I'm positive it was the Holy Spirit, and I think anybody that was there would tell you the same thing. Thanks.
Yeah. So, I mean, some of you might say, man, that's just weird. Yeah, it sounds weird. And yet, that's a real experience. I was there. I saw Jason in pain. I saw a group of guys in this hotel room where we had just finished singing come around him and just pray for him and ask the Holy Spirit to work in his body. And then, you know, no longer than 5-6 minutes later, I see this dude that had this terrible back pain touching his toes, and I saw him on the work site all week long. And so he had an experience of the Holy Spirit. And so I want us to know that this is something that's accessible. It's something that's meant to be a normal part of experiencing relationship with Jesus. And for whatever reason, we can often put it in this category of distant. And so I'm hoping today to kind of close that gap, because I believe that this is indicative of the relationship that God wants to have with you, not just with kind of the weird people, not just with those people, the super spiritual superstars. This is a part of the relationship that Jesus offers to all who say yes to following him. So like most things, it probably helps to ground this in Jesus. Is this someone, the Holy Spirit, someone that Jesus talked about? Or is this just a one-off experience in the Bible that people kind of blown out of proportion? And what you'll find is the Holy Spirit is, in fact, a through line in the Bible and absolutely a focus of Jesus as well. In fact, in John 14 through 17 is kind of the place, 13 through 17 is the place where Jesus is hanging out in the upper room. And this is kind of his last engagement with his 12 closest friends before he leaves the earth. This is the room where he washes their feet, if you've heard of that story. This is the room where he has the Last Supper before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, if you're familiar with that story. And it's also the place where Jesus encourages and comforts his disciples by telling them, I am going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he begins to unpack who the Holy Spirit is. So if I could focus on one verse to encourage you that this is absolutely something that Jesus offers to you, I'd point you to John 14:16, which says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And a couple things to understand from this verse. First, Jesus is talking about a someone. You'll notice the helper is capitalized there because he's talking about someone, not something. Holy Spirit is not an aura or a force. The Holy Spirit is a person that we can interact with, a person that can lead us and guide us. And Jesus is promising not just his disciples in that moment, but all who would be his disciples, all who would follow him, that you can have the Holy Spirit. In fact, to help us understand the heart of what Jesus is promising here, I want to teach you one Greek phrase today. You guys up for learning one Greek phrase today? All right, cool. So it's a Greek term, and I think it's important. We don't usually do that around here, but it's important. The Bible was written originally in a language other than English, and sometimes when you look at the original language, it's helpful. It kind of brings things to light. This is one of those examples. So Jesus, when he says, I will send you another helper, the phrase there is allos parakletos in the Greek language. So I want you to say allos parakletos. And what that means is another helper of the same kind. Now, there are other words he could have used for another, which would have indicated another helper of a different kind. So Jesus wants to make it very clear that the Holy Spirit, this helper, is on par with Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is equally powerful to Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit is equally God, just as Jesus was equally God. So when you say that, you start to lean into this Trinitarian thinking, or the Trinity, if you've ever heard that term before, which is a mysterious thing that God, the being, exists as three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's what the shack kind of depicts. If you've seen that movie, that's what they're depicting there, through those three individuals, that this is what we see in the Bible. And it absolutely is what we see in the Bible. Please don't ask me to explain it in perfect terms. I can't explain God in perfect terms. But I can tell you that time and time again, we see this in the Bible, that God, the being, exists in the context of community in and of himself, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One of the places that we see this is in Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26, in the creation account, the very beginning of the Bible, where it says this, then God said, let us, plural, make man in our, plural, image. So God here is not depicted as a pantheon of gods, and yet when God refers to himself, and I'm using himself only because the Bible uses male terms for him, God doesn't necessarily fall into a category of male or female. But he says, let us. He uses a plural because he's, I believe, creating in the context of community. I believe Jesus was there at creation. The Bible says that in the book of John, the first chapter. The Bible says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters pre-creation. So I believe the Holy Spirit was there. So the Holy Spirit is equally powerful to Jesus and equally God, just as Jesus is. And Jesus says, I am leaving so that you can have the Holy Spirit literally living inside of you. That's an amazing promise and an amazing gift. And so what does it mean practically for us? It means three things. First, it means presence. The word parakletos, the other part of that phrase, can be translated a number of ways. If you read some translations of the Bible, he'll be called the comforter. In other translations, the Holy Spirit is called a guide. And I really like guide because it puts me in the mindset of a guide that helps you climb a mountain. Not that I've climbed a mountain before, but if you've climbed Rainier, Everest, know anybody who does, watched any movies about anybody who does, you know you don't go alone. You go with a Sherpa. You go with a guide. And the cool thing about that is it implies a personal nature to the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. So when you go to climb a mountain, the guide doesn't say, hey, here's my best map, and I'm going to hang out with you for a couple hours to give you my best map, my best path, and then you're going to go up the mountain without me, but I'm going to have my cell phone down here. Call me if you get into any problems. That's not the way it works. When you have a guide, that guide says, come follow me. I'm taking you where I've been before. And that's the relationship that we're invited to have with the Holy Spirit. And it's one that Jesus emphasizes when later on in that same account with his disciples, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So Jesus is promising here a very personal presence. The presence of God through his Holy Spirit that we can encounter and have relationship with. Another friend of mine, Lynn, has experienced this comforting presence of the Holy Spirit, and she tells the story of how that played out for her and a dear friend of hers. Let's watch.
The Holy Spirit, he's such a great comforter. He's such a great guide. His words are true all the time. A couple of weeks ago, I was in my car, sitting in the parking lot praying with my best friend who is in Seattle. And she has cancer. And I was praying with her because she's pretty much by herself there. And so then I come into the office and I go to corporate prayer that we have every morning. And I'm not praying out loud. I'm not praying out loud at all. And the Holy Spirit's talking to me saying, pray for her again. Pray for her again. And I'm thinking, we prayed in the car. Corporate prayer is coming to a close. And actually Chug Mingo's leading it that day. And he says, we're about to come to a close, but I feel like somebody wants to say something. And so he says, the Holy Spirit says, pray for her again now. And so I say, I pray for her. I'd say that my friend's in Seattle. She has cancer. She's alone. Holy Spirit, you know, just comfort her and be with her. Bring people around her. And we finish prayer. And the guy sitting next to me, he's one of the people on staff for Crossroads Anywhere. And he says, our Seattle community is one of our strongest communities. I could connect them to her, and they will love her and comfort her through this. The Holy Spirit, his words are true. He guides, he leads, he comforts. So thankful.
Yeah. Now let me unpack something in Lynn's story. You heard several times her saying, the Holy Spirit said, or I heard the Holy Spirit say. What does that mean? People, you're going to hear that around here. You hang around Crossroads long enough, you're going to hear somebody say, I heard from God. And what do they mean when they say that? I'll just say this. I believe God can speak in an audible voice if he chooses to. That's his prerogative. He can do that. And I do believe that some of my friends have experienced God speaking to them audibly in that way. That's not been my experience. But here's what has been my regular experience since I've been in relationship with Jesus. I have thoughts that come to mind that are not my thoughts. Why do I say they're not my thoughts? Because I don't want to do them. You heard that in Lynn's story. I don't want to pray. We prayed in a car. But when those thoughts are aligned with Jesus and they're aligned with his character, perhaps the Holy Spirit is guiding. I mean, if Jesus promises a guide, we should expect to be guided. We should expect that. And so I've had that experience a lot. And what I find is when I obey, when I follow through on that, oftentimes it's only after I follow through do I realize, oh, that absolutely was the guidance of God, the Holy Spirit speaking to me. This is what happened with Lynn. I think this is an amazing story. Her friend is in Seattle. She's still struggling with cancer, and you could pray for her. And yet she was alone out there. And because Lynn got this thought that wasn't her thought and chose to follow through on that thought, her friend in Seattle is now connected with people via Crossroads Anywhere that are being community and comfort around her. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He brought presence to her. That's what he does. Now, I have my own stories around experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit. And one that's very dear to my family happened about 9 years ago now. And it's when my wife was expecting our first child. And she had some complications, and because of that, she was having preterm labor contractions that started at around 20 weeks. And so we go into the hospital, and she's in pain, and we know, because the doctors were pretty clear with us, that if the baby were to come at 20 weeks, there's nothing they would do to try to save life. It's just too early for a baby to be viable. And so they told us, like, even if we could get 4 weeks later to 24 weeks, we've got a ton of options that just wouldn't make sense at 20 weeks. And so eventually they send us home, and Maria has these contractions again, and this is a Saturday night, never forget it. And the thing that would bring her comfort from this pain is she would get in warm water, and she kind of lapped the water on her belly. It was just a comforting thing to do. And as she's doing this, I'm sitting on the bathroom floor holding her hand. And in that moment, I mean, when you're in a moment like that, your prayers are not eloquent. Who cares about eloquence? And I just said, God, I just need to know that you're here. And so she was eventually able to go to sleep. And the next morning, when I woke up, I got a phone call in the middle of the morning from someone who attends Crossroads, who did not have my cell phone number. They found it from one of my friends. And they said, hey, this is going to sound really weird, but last night I had a dream about your wife. And in the dream, there were angels fanning her womb. And I don't know if that means anything to you, but that's all I got. That's all he said. And then they kind of like hung up the phone. And of course, when they hang up the phone, I'm crying because clearly that's the answer to my prayer from last night. I just needed to know that, God, you were here. And God chose. And here's the crazy thing. We asked her, like, when do you think this happened? At the very time she was having the dream, it connected to the time that I was on that bathroom floor asking, God, are you here? And I'm just telling you, man, that story for me was about presence. It was about comfort. It didn't mean that we were going to have the baby healthy, but it did mean that regardless of the outcome, yes, God and His Holy Spirit was very much with me and with my family in that situation. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we had the baby. Nathan will turn 9 this year. I thank God for that. And yet, if that was a different story, the presence is what I needed. And the presence is what was there. So the Holy Spirit offers us presence, and the Holy Spirit offers us power. When Jesus conquered the grave, which we're going to celebrate like crazy in a couple weeks, you will not want to miss it. When he conquered the grave, he came back and interacted with that same group of people who were following him, who he had promised the Holy Spirit to. And he said to them, hey, stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. And this is what he says to them in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jesus said, I am going to empower you for the life I'm calling you to live. And when that power comes, you're going to say things and do things that will point to me, that will point to the validity of who I am. And that's exactly what happens. In Acts chapter 2, just a couple days after Jesus left, we see these gathering of people. And just to give you context, these are merchants, fishermen. These aren't like spiritual superstars at all, tax collectors. Some of them were revolutionary zealots that hoped Jesus was going to bring a violent revolution. I mean, this is the group of people that Jesus called to himself. And in this group of people, it says that something like tongues of fire fell on them while they were still in Jerusalem in this upper room, and they began to speak languages they had never learned before. And we know that because the people around them who were gathered for this big festival, people were coming all from kind of the diaspora for this festival, were asking themselves, how is it these fishermen know my language? And in my language, they're communicating to me who Jesus is. So we see the Holy Spirit empowering them to speak a language they had never learned. A couple days later, we see Peter going to the temple. Peter was a fisherman, kind of one of Jesus' closest friends, probably the leader of the early church. And this beggar was there. by the temple asking for money. And Peter goes to him and is like, hey, I don't have any money, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And it works. The guy like actually gets up and walks. A couple chapters later, we see a guy named Paul and Silas. And Paul was a guy that God dramatically changed his life and sent him to places where people were not Jewish so they could know that Jesus came to save them too, that he was not just the Jewish rescuer, but he was the rescuer for humanity. And when they would go to places and share the good news of Jesus, it would come against the religious structures in those cultures, and they often got arrested. And so in this situation, Paul and his friend Silas have been jailed and arrested for sharing about Jesus. And in the midst of the jail, they begin to sing worship songs. They begin to sing songs about Jesus. And in the midst of that, an earthquake starts. And the earthquake is powerful enough to break the shackles that they're in, which for me would have been a clear sign that the Holy Spirit wants me to run out of prison. That's what I would have done. It's not what they do. They stay there. And in the midst of that story, the jailer and their and his entire family come to relationship with Jesus. So we see power. We see these men and women doing things that are beyond human ability. And it's exactly what Jesus promised would happen for those who receive the Holy Spirit. So here's the question. Does that still happen? Can you experience the power of the Holy Spirit in that way? And I want you to know the answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely, yes. So I'm going to share a couple more stories with you. One is a woman named Jenny, who's a part of Crossroads in our Central Kentucky campus at Andover, right outside of Lexington. And she had an experience of the power of the Holy Spirit that literally led to the life of a friend of hers being saved. Let's watch.
One of our pastors here at Crossroads, Lynn Buckles, was sick. He went into the hospital with chest pain and was sent home, and I went to his house that day and to see if I could therapeutically help him in any way. And immediately, I just sensed that something was seriously wrong. I didn't know what it was, and I couldn't figure out what was going on, but I just felt this overwhelming sense that the only thing I could do was to pray over him. The whole way back to church, I prayed in the car, and I cried, and I just couldn't shake this awful gut feeling that I had. I called his wife and told her that I felt like he needed to go back to the hospital, go back to the doctor, that just something was wrong and I didn't know what it was. Couldn't explain it. It just was just overwhelming and I couldn't put it into words, but I just felt like God was telling me to do that. So she took him to the hospital. They said that if it would have been 2 or 3 hours more, that Lynn would have died. And he had surgery, and it is a miraculous story that he has endured multiple surgeries, but he is alive and well, and thanks to the Holy Spirit, and just being able to receive and hear and listen to the Holy Spirit, and Lynn's here today, and we're so very grateful.
I think Jenny's story really illustrates the importance of obedience when you have those promptings from the Holy Spirit. If you're in a relationship with Jesus, my guess is you're getting promptings, and maybe the struggle isn't hearing, but the struggle has been in responding. Because I will tell you that the longer you kind of walk this journey and the more you engage in this, like, you're going to hear things that sound weird. And, you know, I mean, I can imagine for her, she just left. Like, he just got out of the hospital. I'm sure it wasn't easy to call his wife back and say, take him back to the hospital. I'm sure that didn't feel comfortable. And in that situation, you know what? God could have done anything. I'm not saying he would have died if she didn't do that. God could have used another way. But clearly, God used her to have him go back to the hospital within 3 hours of something that could have been life-ending for him. And it's just amazing to think that Jesus actually promised, hey, this is the kind of power I'm giving you. One of the other places where we're seeing this kind of thing play out in the lives of normal folks is at our camps. So man camp, woman camp, and some of you are going to couples camp next weekend. I'm sure it's going to happen there as well. So one of the parts of that experience is a prayer tent. And it's a place where, you know, next week it'll be couples. At women camp, it's women. And at man camp, it's men who commit their weekend to being in a prayer tent and just give an opportunity for guys to kind of come ask for prayer and just be prayed for. And some amazing things have been happening in that prayer tent. And in a story that can only be told by a pastor at Crossroads Church in Cincinnati, what I love about this is that the prayer tent is right next to the keg line at man camp. No other pastor in America can share this story right now. So And I know there's some of you dudes that you came to man camp, and it's only because the keg line was too long that you wandered into the prayer tent. I know it. I know it. And here's what you all need to know. Men have wandered into that prayer tent, and they have walked out healed. Men have wandered into that prayer tent and have walked out with restored marriages. Men have wandered into that prayer tent and walked out knowing Jesus for the first time. That's happening in normal people's lives through normal guys praying for them that aren't perfect spiritual superstars, but believe that Jesus meant what he said when he said, you will have power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. I was at the Last Man camp, and I had some stories of that experience myself. But my friend Eric also had a pretty cool experience in that prayer tent. So here's his story.
Hi, my name's Eric, and I was on the MASH team at the Last Man camp. So the night before camp started, I'm out with the rest of the team, walking around the camp land, praying for the units as they're coming in, all that sort of thing. And out of the blue, I get this really weird mental picture that just pops into my head. The very first image was of a dropped ceiling, like we'd be in an office building or something like that. And kind of as this really short scene almost unfolds in my head, it's like I'm looking through somebody else's eyes as they're staring up at this drop ceiling, you know, in frustration or whatever. And all I could tell was like there was a conversation happening between a man and a woman, presumably husband and wife. But not that they were angry or fighting with each other, but just that it was really intense. There was something really weighty going on. And you know, the whole situation was just really intense. So it was out of the blue. I kind of didn't know what to do with it, so I just kind of put it out of my mind. So the next day, I'm there in the tent, and this guy walks in, and we start praying for him. He's got some questions about his job that he needs to sort out and all those sorts of things. So, you know, fairly normal encounter. We pray for him, and he's about to walk away, and that image pops back into my head again. So I call him back in, and I'm like, okay, this is going to sound really, really bizarre. Bear with me. Do you by chance have a drop ceiling in your house, like in your kitchen or in your basement or anything like that? And he's like, yeah, we have one in my man cave in my basement. Why? So I tell him this story. I explain the scenario to him. And, you know, his face just drops and just tears start streaming down his cheeks. And he says, you just described the conversation I had with my wife the night before I came out here. She's having all these different health problems, and we're at a loss for what to do. It's why I have the job questions that I have. I've got this opportunity to leave and take another job, but I can't because we need that insurance from my current job to pay for her health care. So we're stuck and we don't know what to do. And so to get the opportunity to be, you know, almost the vessel through which God was able to come to that guy and say, look, I'm there with you in that moment. I see when you're hurting and when you're frustrated and when you don't know what to do, and I'm there. Was just absolutely incredible.
Okay, so you're hearing a lot today about regular folks who've had these beyond encounters with God. And you're probably in one of two places, you know? Some of you, you're leaning in. I mean, I can sense it. You're just like, yes, yes. And others of you, you're like this. This is weird. This is just weird. Chuck, all you did was make it more weird, you know? Like, it's crazy. And I'll just say, wherever you are is totally fine. But just consider this, because I've had these conversations probably more than you have. And I'll just tell you that what I find is when people have arms folded and say it's weird, what's behind that is often not that you don't believe it's possible, but you don't think it's possible for you. And I'll just say, man, if there's anything in you that's saying this is for other people, this is not for you, you're not going to experience this, man, I want to encourage you especially to lean in over the next 3 weeks, now 2 weeks. Because Jesus said, I'm sending you another helper of the same kind, and he didn't say, and here's the select group of people who this is for. He said, for every person who comes into relationship with me, this is my gift to you. You will receive the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, there is a knowledge of the presence of God that you can have. With the Holy Spirit, there is a power that can operate in your life. You know what? I haven't had some of the miraculous stories that these folks have had, but I know it's the power of the Holy Spirit working through me when I can have clarity to get through 5 services and communicate something clearly that helps people. That's the Holy Spirit. I don't do that on my own power. So it doesn't have to be some unique thing that's a headline grabber. I'm telling you, there's power here. Some people have been able to forgive in marriages where people thought it was unforgivable because of the power of the Holy Spirit, and their marriage is thriving today. Others have been able to overcome abuse and pain in their life that there's no way that they could have overcome. Some of us are walking free of addictions today, and it's because the Holy Spirit's power has been operating in your life. So I want you to know this is for you, no matter who you are. It is for you. And one of the through lines in all of the stories today is it's for you, because every time we get a sense of the Holy Spirit's presence or power, it is always so that we know we are loved by God. In fact, this is how Romans 5:5 puts it. It says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom has been given to us. Jesus is offering a presence that brings comfort. He's offering a power to live the life that you want to live, because the Holy Spirit is also God's promise. The Holy Spirit is God's promise that no matter if the outcome is what you want or not, He is with you. He does care about you. That when you follow that small, still voice, it's because the guide is leading you. Somebody put it really well. They said, the Holy Spirit's work in our life is evidence that God has laid claim to us. We are His. And as awesome as that is, here's what you also need to know. The Holy Spirit is evidence in our life that we can lay claim to God too. That we can have God with us. That we can have relationship with Him. That the power that He promised can be ours to operate in our lives, to bless people, to serve, to love, to live the life that we were created to live. So that's the invitation on the table in this series. And there is only one caveat, and that's this. The only way that you receive the Holy Spirit is to receive Jesus. You have to receive Jesus. If you don't have Jesus and you haven't said yes to Jesus, there is no Holy Spirit. If you go back to the first verse that we talked about, Jesus says, I will send you the Holy Spirit. There's another verse in John that says, and to all who have received Him, to those who have believed in Jesus' name, He gave them the power to be called the children of God. And the seal by which you know you're God's child is the gift of the Holy Spirit operating in your life. So this is for you as you receive Jesus. Maybe some of you want to do that today. Maybe you realize that there is a presence that's been missing in your life, that you haven't had relationship with God. Or maybe you're realizing there's not this power that other people seem to be operating in. And I'm telling you, if you've never said yes to Jesus, and by that I mean never turned away from whatever it is that you're looking to life for and said, I'm trusting Jesus with my life. I trust that He is God's Son. I trust that He died for me. I trust that He rose for me. And I trust that in some way that I don't fully understand, His very Spirit can live inside of me. If you've never said that, you can do that today. You can receive today. We've got an awesome prayer team. And I'm encouraging you, if you've never said that and you want this relationship, to stay in your seat and let one of our volunteers come and pray with you. They'd love to pray with you to receive that. If you're watching online, there's an email that's coming up. And you can send an email saying, hey, I want to receive Jesus. I want that. I encourage you to do that. Best decision I ever made. And maybe you have said yes to Jesus, but you want more of the Holy Spirit operating in your life. You want to experience more of His presence, more of His power. That's awesome, because guess what? There's always more to experience. There's always more to experience with the Holy Spirit. I want more. I want to experience His presence far more than I do right now, and I experience His presence. I want to experience His power far more than I do right now. I want everything that Jesus promised to me. I want to maximize that gift in my life. I hope you do too, and if you do, man, this series is going to be great. In fact, if you're in either camp, I encourage you to not miss next weekend. Next weekend, you're going to be hearing from a guy out of all the people that I've heard ever talk about the Holy Spirit and His work in people. This guy gets it, and he has a way of explaining it that is so, so helpful. So be here. Invite your friends to be here. You won't want to miss it. And the action step for this week is be in a posture of listening. In all the stories you heard today, people at some point were listening and able to hear. what the Holy Spirit was guiding them into. Maybe there's something that God wants to say to you this week. I want to encourage you to have a posture of listening. And to help you with that, we're going to end our time with a tool that can help you remind yourself that I'm in a posture of listening this week. It's a song. A song that our band wrote some years ago. It says, "I will listen for the Lord." So I want us to stand up right now. And we're going to sing this song because this song is a helpful tool. And even after this, you can download this song, and I'd encourage you to do that. Play it throughout the week just to remind you and God, hey, I want to listen. I want more. If there's something beyond to experience, I'm up for that. So, God, I pray that as we sing this song now, that this wouldn't just be a song that we sing in this moment, but we would take this with us throughout our week. And that in moments in our day that are busy or are calm, we would listen for your still small voice, because that is the way the Holy Spirit begins to operate in our lives. So let's sing this song together. Amen.
Singing. Have a great week. Don't forget to work with us on Easter weekend.